From the independent producer project of KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
You know, back in 2012, back when the show started, everything was really chaotic. Back then, it was just me in my basement, stabbing around in the dark with my recorder and my audio software. I would often just sit my friends down there for hours and hound them with questions until stories fell out of their mouths. The stories weren't practiced, so they were rarely polished, and they rarely tied up neatly at the ends. But the stories were always heartfelt, and I really liked that. But in the interim, the show has evolved, and it's changed, and that kind of story has mostly fallen by the wayside. So originally for this episode, the one that you're listening to right now, Bethany and I had this grand story planned for you. It was a story about hidden identities and intrigue and mystery, etc. But at the last second, our primary source had to pull out from that story due to an unforeseen life circumstance. And that's just how life happens, I suppose. We're still going to do the story, we're just pushing it off into our next season. But anyways, this sudden shift in plans made me think about those early days of the podcast. Back when I felt that panic every time I hit publish, having no idea what the next episode was going to be. And somehow, in those early days, it seemed to always serendipitously work out. So last Saturday, I was sitting in a restaurant that I like in Seattle. I like it pretty much for one reason, and that's just because the ceiling of the restaurant is made out of mirrors and you can snoop on the other patrons just by looking up. I was sitting in this restaurant and I was feeling that almost nostalgic sense of podcast panic. And I looked up at that mirrored ceiling, trying to find a story. Just due to the nature of where I was sitting in the restaurant, I looked in the reflection outside. And there, I saw my friend Kelly, just standing next to his bike. I've known Kelly for a couple years, and I've always really liked him. He's very honest about his passions. And he says, "I love you," more than anyone else I've ever met. So Kelly and I met up the next day.
We need to take a minute here and just get the sound of the quad.
We walked into the courtyard that's in the heart of the University of Washington. We sat there on a bench in between the buildings and looked at the leafless cherry trees, and we watched as the planes flew low over top of us. And just like those early days, we talked.
Could you introduce yourself?
My name's Kelly. I ride bikes and like math.
Where are you from?
Laramie, Wyoming.
What's that town like?
Cold, just cold. I think the week I left, it was negative 40 with the wind chill, which is just not okay.
What time of day is it?
Evening.
How much time do you think we have until it gets actually dark out?
40 minutes? 30 minutes?
Sounds about right. Are you the sort of person that takes drugs?
Yes.
Why?
Why? Mostly, I think, self-discovery and stupidity.
Can you tell me about this time you almost froze to death?
Sure.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about...
Suddenly, E popped up or Pi popped up.
The podcast about...
The unknown.
I guess it was 3 years ago.
You were in Laramie.
I was in Laramie. I'd gotten over to a friend's house for a New Year's party from the bar. And at some point, for some reason, shows up to the party, and she shows up with a purse full of magic mushrooms. Psilocybin. And I ended up buying the entire purse full for everyone. Start doling them out.
You have a purse full of mushrooms.
Purse full of mushrooms. I don't know. I'm in a very strange point in my life. Not strange. It's a very ordinary point in my life. I wasn't really sure what, if anything, I wanted to do. And here I am, first of the year, like, doing drugs.
What do psilocybin mushrooms taste like?
Earthy.
Can you describe what changes when you take mushrooms? Is it like the movies or is it something else?
It's a little bit like the movies. Your mind, at least I feel like my mind, like the inquisitive side stays there, but the judgmental side, per se, does not. It sort of breaks down those arbitrary walls enough to see connections between people and things, to see a great deal of empathy. Things become very wavy, if that makes any sense. Like you can be looking at like a straight rod and the rod will appear to be sort of like shifting or waving in your vision. And so I go out to the porch to smoke a cigarette.
What were you wearing?
I'm wearing a green trench coat that kind of goes down to my ankles. I think just jeans and a t-shirt. I had my work shoes on from the night before, and it had been snowy, so my feet are just not okay. I'm looking up at the stars, and I'm thinking, I just know that I want to read. I want to do math. I want to read. I want to read very badly. I want to get a book on combinatorics.
On what?
On combinatorics, sort of counting things. Structures of sets of elements and how they play together. I know you know a bit of combinatorics, and that's just Pascal's triangle. You're counting the coefficients, counting these sort of inherently mathematical things.
So back to what was happening that night. What happens next?
It's probably about 5 a.m. and smoking the cigarette, thinking just about life in general, thinking I want to read. And suddenly, I am in front of co-library on the University of Wyoming campus with a rock in my hand. When I came to, I was like contemplating this moment of, I have a rock in my hand, I want in there, and I want to do one thing and one thing only. As I'm staring at this large glass pane, I know that if I throw the rock through, I can go up to the third floor, to the math section, like, start reading. I also know that someone's probably going to come find me and put me in jail. But I would also have time to read, so that would be fine. But I'm cold. I am so very cold in this moment. And so I'm staring at the door, and I can see behind me this pillar, this emergency lamp that just has a giant red button on it and a big blue light at the very top in the reflection. So I realize I need help. I realize that this is a terrible idea. And what better thing to be there than this giant button that says help? So I press it.
It's like an emergency phone.
Yeah, yeah, it's an emergency phone. So I press the button and the voice comes out from the intercom, like, what's your emergency? And the only thing I could get out was, I'm cold. You're cold? I'm very cold. And so she said, okay, like, hang tight. We'll have someone there right away. I don't think it was more than a minute before the UWPD.
UW?
Yes, UW. So University of Wyoming PD drives up. He asks me, like, what the problem is. I remember just immediately bawling, just, like, to the point where snot was, like, dripping, like, a good foot away from my nose. And I explain to him that I'm on mushrooms. I tell him that it's my first time, which it is not. I tell him again, I'm cold. And suddenly an ambulance pulls up and drives me the 10 blocks to the hospital. After the psych eval, they leave me alone for a little while and give me ice chips to just, like, chew on.
How long were you in the hospital for?
I think just, like, maybe 4 hours. It was afternoon whenever I finally got home, so maybe five.
Yeah. Okay, just a couple more questions for you, Kelly. I know it's getting cold out here. What do you think stayed your hand when you had that rock there and in front of that big glass window?
I think I knew I wasn't making sense.
Why do you like math so much?
It's like, in its own right, it is very drug-like to me. It's following a train of thought to its end. So you can start out with a really simple observation about something, and you end 10% of the time with something you just did not expect the universe to do, which is really, really exciting. It is like drawing. It is like every other artistic endeavor in that it takes a lot of practice to get to a point where you can, you know, step back and go like, why did that happen? You'll be like looking at a sequence. It's got a nice way to describe it, but then you play with the way that you've described it and you come up with suddenly E popped up or pi popped up or something like that, and you're just left dumbfounded because you don't yet understand where that could possibly come from. It's almost like a joke sometimes.
Do you still use drugs?
Yes.
Even after this experience?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't think it can get much worse than that.
Is that your worst experience? How dark is it now?
The sky is becoming a very dark blue. You can still see the light of the horizon a little bit, but
I like that. It's green at the horizon. Yeah. You know? What's a good book on combinatorics?
I think my favorite is Generating Functionology by Herbert Wolf, which is the most hilarious name of any math book I know of.
Wait, is he saying?
Generating Functionology.
I don't get the joke, Kelly.
It's just, well, there's things called generating functions, and this is the study of them, so you just add an O-L-O-G-Y.
That's not very good.
Most things in math sound so...
This episode of Here Be Monsters was produced by me, Jeff Entman, along with help from Bethany Denton and our editor at KCRW, Nick White. Before Kelly and I recorded the audio for this episode, we visited Suzalo Library on the campus of the University of Washington. We went there right as the sun was setting and coming through the giant cathedral-like windows. And I took this picture of Kelly, gazing upward, admiring some mathematical feature of the very high ceiling. He tried to explain it to me, but I think it went over my head. Regardless, you can see the photo of Kelly up on our website, hbmpodcast.com. Also on our website, we have some beautiful visuals of combinatorics. We have some more reading on them, and we also have a link to Kelly's favorite combinatorics book. You'll also find links to the musicians that you heard on this episode, which were The Black Spot and Flowers. Again, we're at hbmpodcast.com. Hey, and just so you know, our season is wrapping up very soon. Just two more episodes before we take a little season break. So if you're in Seattle, we'd love it if you came to our Season 4 wrap party. You'll get to meet us, you'll get to meet other fans, and you'll maybe even get to meet some of the people from this season's stories. Who knows? We'll have a podcast-flavored cake, we'll have an Elixir of Life recipe contest, and Bethany will probably try to do karaoke, and I will not. We don't know exactly where or when this will happen yet, but we would love to see you there. So if you're in the Seattle area, please RSVP to our event on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/herebemonstersradio. You can also find us in the search bar. Just type in Here Be Monsters and look for our rainbow-colored logo. We'll also post a link up on Twitter at @HBMPodcast. All right, Here Be Monsters is part of the Independent Producer Project from KCRW. Thanks for listening. More episodes soon. When I think about people in my head, right, and I have to describe them to someone else, I'll try to like pick out the traits about them that are different from anyone else I've ever met. And I realized earlier today when I was thinking about you that you are a person that says, I love you more than any other person I know. I'm curious to know if A, you know that, and B, if you know why you do that.
It's been pointed out to me before. I think the reason is that I really do. I don't know. I enjoy my friends a great deal, and I just really want to say that to them.